It's time for You Talking to Me with your host, Big JD.
That's right. This is You Talking to Me. I'm your host, Big JD, CGM 99.1 FM, Redefining Radio in Windsor, Detroit. Scott Fleming is on the show today, and he's from the QLC Group. Scott is the founder of Quantum Life Changes. He coaches in all areas of life and business, in all areas of success. Hi, Scott. Welcome to You Talking to Me.
Nice to see you. Nice to be here.
Great to have you. When we think of things like this, being counseled, we generally think of maybe psychiatrists, possibly. And how is a life coach different than that? And maybe, you know, you can elaborate on why someone would prefer, or why would they go to a life coach instead of going to like a doctor, a psychiatrist, a psychologist, or perhaps?
Right. Okay. Great. Well, one of the things with psychiatry or with traditional counseling, that's what my university and what my I passed actually did for about 10 years is counseling and working with people and individuals in every aspect of behavior, of addiction, of different things. And one of the reasons why I got into coaching is it's future focused. It's more on a person's life, where they're at and where they want to go, instead of focusing on negative behaviors and stuff like that. We're actually focusing on, like, instead of psychology, positive psychology. We're focusing more on the future, more on positive emotion, more on vision, mission for their life, where they're going, what are their dreams, what are their goals, what are their values. And it's all forward motivated instead of problem motivated, so that's really the difference in coaching. Coaching is a lot more questioning, a lot more pulling out of you who you are, and really trying to discover who the person is, and not necessarily the various problems and things. Like, whenever someone comes to me in coaching, we always do a quick history on where they've been at and things like that. But it's a little bit different. And one of the things about coaching that I believe is that every successful person should have a coach. And with today's environment and the way it works and operates and the way life is so fast-paced, then in order to be really successful today, I believe that everybody should have a coach, whether it's a professional coach or whether it's a good mentor or a good someone to just really help you along the way to help keep you centered. Because with things, problems come up, relationship issues, school problems, life, job loss. The world is bombarding us with all kinds of things today, and that takes us off our center. And if when we're off our center, then we're making decisions, we're going about life accordingly, and it can take us off our path. So I believe that coaching is a key thing, and it's different than counseling. I mean, counseling, you know, a lot of people say, well, you know, counseling or psychiatry or this and that kind of has a bit of a stigma to it. Where I believe that coaching successful people, every single successful people I believe today should have a coach, and that is really the way we're going and the direction that we're going.
Let's talk a little bit actually about the kinds of issues you coach on, various areas that you coach on, and maybe we can start with career coaching. And it's probably safe to say people may not always have problems in these areas, but need advice and guidance. So what kinds of things are brought to you in the area of careers? And I'm interested to know if you see any patterns in the kinds of things that clients want to discuss within that?
One of the things with career coaching that we do, one of the things that I come across, and it's pretty much everybody, but I mean, working with high school and university people, the majority of the ones that come to me through that have seen, you know, guidance counselors, or have seen things and have said, okay, well, these are your marks, and this is kind of, you know, then this is what you can do. And one of the things that we do with career coaching that's kind of different than that is the fact that we always start with a person's mission, vision, values. Who are they in life? What do they want? What about their emotions? What about who they are? And one of the things we always say is if you had all the money in the world, what would you do for a living? What would you do? And so then it changes the question. It changes up, and it gives a person a lot more to discuss it in order for looking for a career. Because one of the things that we know is you have one chance at life, and at the end of your life, you're going to look back. And then what are you going to say? Well, you know, well, at least I made some money, and, you know, I did a job that I hated. I got out of a bed every day. I hated it. And if that's how we're going to live our life, considering we only have one life, to me it seems pretty wasteful. So one of the things that I love about this generation coming up here is we've switched from the worker age more to the knowledge age. So the knowledge age, if we understood it, which so far systems haven't caught up to it, but if we understood it better, and if we operate within that, we know that the young people coming up today have an actual opportunity. Although the media and although the world says and although the systems say we're stuck, we don't know where we're going, there's no jobs, there's none of this, the reality is if any of the just generation come up or anybody wants to seriously grab a hold of who they are, mission, vision, values, what they really want, what is their heart's desire, and what at the end of their life when they look back do they want to say that they have done, accomplished, etc., that there's a whole world out there waiting for them. There's a whole world of success. There's a whole world out there that they can grab a hold of. So in career coaching, we look at a variety of things, and not just school marks, not just, I'd almost say pigeonholing, but not really. There's a lot more to look at with career and career development and et cetera.
Well, let's talk a little bit about depression and negative thinking patterns. Is there some kind of formula for reversing that process as well? So maybe you can get into that. Depression's got to be obviously a big issue with. Is that one of the biggest things that you talk to people about, maybe, stress and depression?
Well, it's really actually amazing that, I've worked with people for 20 years all over the world with every different kind of issue. And it seems like in the last number of years, the biggest thing, and I've worked with people, you know, successful business people, sales, doctors. I mean, it doesn't matter whether it's the most down and out or the most successful. The thing that we're coming across, you know, daily is depression, negative thinking patterns. And it's really going across the board. And at first, you know, 20 years ago when I was in counseling, I really avoided depression because I kept hearing, oh, it's mental illness, and oh, you have to be a psychiatrist, and you have to have a real good understanding. Once I started dealing with people over and over and over and over and over, the more that I seen it, the more I seen patterns. And once you see patterns, you understand, it's like reading DNA. You start to be able to systematically understand how it works, how it operates. And so it really took off the, like I said, 20 years ago, I was just like, I ain't touching it. Now I completely have a great understanding of it and a great thing. And one of the things about coaching that's so different than I see with the traditional way of dealing with depression is one of the things we always do and I always try to coach people on is to seeing depression as an entity. Because it actually, whether it's success, it has a trail. Depression has a trail. It leaves, if you look at it and study it, it actually has like an entity. It operates a certain way. Now, it operates in different people's lives certain ways, but once you understand how it operates in your life and how it's using you against you, it really helps. So awareness is good, identifying it as an entity. And there's so many things, even with neurolinguistics, understanding the subconscious mind, understanding that the only way for you to feel down or to feel good or to feel sad or to feel happy is really through your mind. And so once we understand the subconscious mind, how negative thinking patterns work, and we start to understand that, we can start to really, and one of the things that, basically I spent the day today coaching on with multiple people is depression, negative thinking, and really systematically overcoming it. And one of the things that I've worked with people with depression in 1 hour on a phone conversation from one particular gentleman up in Brampton, in 1 hour, hadn't been out of bed in the last 3 months, was off work, was already seeing a psychologist, hadn't exercised, was really down. In 1 hour on the phone, said, I got to go. I'm going for a jog. Hadn't exercised in 3 years. There's a lot of stuff with NLP and understanding the subconscious mind. And basically, we know this. Is that everything that's done since the day you were born till today is played on a reel. So you have an audio and a videotape in your mind, in your subconscious mind that's downloaded it. Once you understand this, you understand pattern behavior and changing it, basically you do is you change up that reel and how you've seen that thing which made you depressed or whatever. And once you change it in the mind, it's changed. One of the things that we're coming across so much with the people that I deal with, some of them are on medication for 5-6 years. And the thing is, if you go on medication, it's not that I'm partially against medication, but I know that there's certain people that need it for certain lengths of time. But one of the things that I'm coming across on a daily basis, weekly basis, is people that have been on medication for 5 and 6 years with no game plan. Now, if you don't have a game plan on what you're going to do in order to get back off it, or B, you're not strengthening your mind so that there is a day that you're going to get off it, your mind's going to be strengthened, I'm finding people on medication are still depressed. And it's like, that's, to me, really angers me, and it's just not acceptable to me. So if there's no plan, like I met this one individual, he 5 years later started off, girlfriend left him, legitimately got depressed, and 5 years later on 6 medications, and the issue of why it started was never dealt with. So where are we going with it? So depression, I believe this. I believe that all things in life, whether it be success or whether it is depression, whatever, starts with simplicity. After the simplicity, what happens is once we start patterning the behavior and allow it to go, complexity forms out of it. But we just need to bring it back to the very basics, figure out what it is, and start with simplicity. Everything works from simplicity. The whole universe works from simplicity.
Very interesting. Now, you did bring up medication. What are your thoughts on medication for depression? And is it necessary in some cases? Does it work? And if it does work or help a patient, how does it weigh against the negative effects that, you know, any kind of side effects, not necessarily just, you know, on their body, but I mean on playing on their mind as well? I mean, it does change maybe the chemical balance and whatnot.
Now, I know that, I mean, all the studies that I've read and all the different people I've read, there is some people that need medication. And I believe that if there's a plan, we're starting here, we're stopping here, this is what we're going to do. While we're doing it, we are strengthening our mind. We're deciding and we're knowing what we're doing while we're on it. It's humongous. Now, there is a lot of side effects to it. Like, I mean, so many people I meet, they're like, okay, we took one for, you know, a medication for this, but then I was having side effects of this, so I took this medication, and then we had, well, that brought side effects. I mean, 4, 5, 6 medications. To me, we are an overprescribed society. We're way overprescribed. I believe that 100% that most of the depression issues are simple. And if we deal with the original root, now we know that what happens is sometimes, you know, I had a discussion, you know, I have many discussions, but one with a psychologist one day, psychiatrist, and they said, well, we know what happens is it's a simple thing at first, and, you know, okay, yes, he split up with his girlfriend, but what happens is sometimes those behaviors open up other things, and, you know, all of a sudden different areas open up in their lives. The simplicity still comes back to the fact that we need to deal with the root issues. And today in society, I believe the reason why we're so medicated is because none of us want to delve into the deepness, into the sea. And I can't tell you the amount of people that I come across daily that are afraid. And I'm like, how, like, okay, so let's say it is me and I'm 10 years old and I'm beat. And now, you know, I'm 35 or 40 and I'm having depression issues because maybe something happened. What is scaring me from going back to that 8 or 10-year-old person that's already experienced it? What is it within me that is scaring me from doing it? And I can't tell you the amount of times that people say that. And what they say to me is, this is what I hear the most, is I've learned now how to live this way. I don't know what I'm like when I'm like that. I don't know how to live that person. And it, I guess it's legitimate, but one of the things that comes back to me again is you have one life to live. At the end of it, you're going to look back, and I'm going to tell you, like the great big ship has a little tiny rudder, a little tiny thing directs the ship. Now, can you imagine if you have a conflict within yourself, an issue, something like that, that's actually guiding and directing you off course from who you really are? I cannot tell you the amount of people that I've come across that have spent years, they're a lawyer today, and they've been doing it, and find out, I'm not even a lawyer, and I've got the bills and I got this, but that's not even who I am.
Right? Yeah.
I've seen it in every life and in every avenue, and I'm like, you know, we need to know who we are. We need to figure out who we are. We need to come to the conclusion. There are side effects with medication. We know that it makes you depressed. It kind of numbs you. It kind of makes you go through life like ho hum. There is so much to it that I believe we should, you know, 97%. I mean, I'm going off the top of my head. I'm just saying, just so much. Sure. The people that I come across, it's so huge that everybody that I've come across so far, in my opinion, should never have even been medicated in the first place.
Now, in the area of divorce, and I know you mentioned this as well, and you know, in speaking to someone whose partner left them and whatnot, and I imagine you probably talk about these things with a lot of people or coach them on. What about for people that want to maybe better their marriage? Do they come to you for those purposes as well, that want to stay together or want to or just make things better in some way as opposed to the divorce thing and whatnot?
Yeah, that's a great question. Yeah, you know what? This is the funny thing about society and people. I don't know whether it's always been this way or it's been the last however long, but what people do in their lives, in their marriages, in their businesses, is usually never go for coaching, counseling, or whatever until it's so bad that, oh my God, it's almost, you know, you can't even bear it anymore. And the funny thing is about it, if I look at society and look at people and I go around and contact and discuss with people every day, where are you at? Where's your life? Most of us are living at about a 2 or 3, 4, 5 at best on a level of 10. When we could be walking around as a 9, 10 every day, through our mind, through emotions, understanding communication, and we could be living life, an abundant life, but none of us are. So one of the things that I always say to people is live an optimal life, live an abundant life. And so it's funny that marriages, I don't think that I've had people mention it to me, hey, our marriage is pretty good, but what, you know, maybe we could come for coaching for betterment in our marriage. And I said, you know what? And I explained the reasons why it's good and all this stuff. It's like, it's almost like preventative maintenance. But what you're doing is you're keeping up on it. You're making sure that you didn't shift all of a sudden. Now, you know, both of you are working so much and, you know, kind of get off track and just keeping that unity. And I'll tell you, I've had a few people ask me about it. I've never actually had somebody come to me for that. It's always when it's on the brink. It's always when it's either on the brink or it's already washed up. And, you know, yeah, so there's a whole lot more to say about people they separate and what happens and how things go and all that stuff, which is
probably
really
a lot more information than we have in a 30-minute show, yes. But we're trying to cover a bunch of different areas with you, obviously, because, you know, it entails so much. Now, then on the other side of that coin, the entire family coaching, when you do talk with an entire family, what types of things are would an entire family bring to you as far as wanting to be coached on now? Is it sibling rivalry and things like that, or is it parents kids things, or
a bit of everything? Parents kid things. Some families have come to me and said, you know what, we have goals, we're going to start this new year off right, and what we want to do is we want to get in shape. We all have some things that we have in common that we want, and some things that we want to gel and learn to do as a family together more, and some of us have our individual stuff. So what we've done is set up plans for the family and set up plans for each individual, because sometimes it's self-esteem with the daughter, or it's health, but it's overall health and eating and living right and working with their minds and communicating better and learning how to set goals as a family. And one of the things that I've done with families, because they've had a bit of dysfunction, is set up the family roles and work with them in communication for what the family is. How does the family operate? What is the role of the daughter, the son, the father, the mother? And worked a lot with that so that the family is better, so the family understands their roles better. It's really amazing that so there's a whole lot that we've done with families, from fitness to communication to
the in-laws,
to setting
perhaps.
Goals. The in-laws and how to keep, and how to keep, because, I mean, the main thing is the home is the home. It's a new home, and it should kind of be that way, and there's tons of that.
Sure. And how about life purpose coaching? Now, that some of that probably falls into that category, I guess, coaching for one's life. Is that generally for someone seeking that, or possibly thinking they have no purpose, or that kind of thing? You know, the purpose coaching thing, you kind of touched on that a little bit, as far, you know, like the lawyer that, hey, I'm not even a lawyer. Like, you know, obviously he went to school for that, has a degree maybe, but I mean, there are a lot of people that find out. Or is it midlife crisis things, or like what kind of things come up like that?
Well, I think life, there's a whole lot with that. Like life purpose, I mean, people that, I believe this, a lot of people, anyway, look, let's back up. I'm going to start back there and then go here and go here. Okay, life purpose coaching, I believe this, that every single one of us should, at a younger age, start to learn and develop who we are, mission, vision, values for ourselves.
And they kind of teach that, especially with school, like, you know, you're going to start a career or something like that. But a lot of times you're pushed into that, though. You know, hey, it's time to choose a career because you're going to be going, you're going to college now, and you have to pick something. And you may find out, you know, obviously a few years later that it wasn't you.
It's not really it. And I think that what should start happening in the home, obviously, is it should be starting, is for kids and young people to start questioning themselves. And I don't really find kids questioning themselves. One of the things is it's hard to question yourself in a society today when we're inundated with music, with video, audio, with cell phones, texting, and we are such an outward society. The society is telling us who we are instead of us telling society who we are.
Sure.
We're being dictated to and not dictating to.
And another thing that maybe touch on that as well, like with the counseling and things like that, is that they try to get you into an area or career where jobs are prosperous. Hey, there's a lot of work in this area, so maybe you should go into this field. So
right.
Carry on.
And to me, what I believe you should do, especially today, because the opportunities are so abundant, although they're saying they're not, is that if you live your life according to who you are, who are you? Now, one of the great things I loved in the first conversation that I had with you is starting your business and doing what you're doing. And that one of the things you said is it's tough. There's some things in tough. No matter what we do in life, it's tough. But if you know who you are and you know your dream in you and you know your purpose and you've looked from the end backwards and you've questioned yourself, then it doesn't matter about tough. It doesn't matter about this. It doesn't matter about my neighbor. It doesn't matter about that. It matters about who I am, what do I want, what I desire, and am I going to do it?
Sure.
Because I'll tell you, there's not one person that I've ever read or studied that ever went and became what they became that didn't have a little turmoil to get there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I could wake up next year thinking that maybe I'm not Big JD.
Mm-hmm.
So now I want to ask you about spiritual faith coaching. That's my wife, Lana, by the way, that's here. And this is Scott.
Great. Okay, great.
And some people in the studio here. I want to ask you about spiritual and faith coaching. I would think that folks might opt to discuss some of these areas maybe with the church and clergy. And why might they come to a life coach for things like that as opposed to maybe going to the church or whatnot for...
Right, and that's a humongous question. I have about 4 hours to answer that.
All right.
The simplest, I'll try to break it down quickly. A lot of the things that I've come across, the thing is people, when they go to church, they don't really want to confess that, hey, I mean, I've had people, alcoholics, this and that, and they say, man, you know, what am I going to say there? I feel embarrassed. Most people think when they go to the church that they have to be all cleaned and prim and proper. Wrong. I mean, the church really is more or less, should be more like the hospital. It's there to come to get yourself, you know,
sure.
Come as you are type thing.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't. So a lot of people are don't really want their problems aired out, they're this and that. And a lot of people have confusion with, okay, well, I've got these issues. How does it relate to my faith? How does my faith relate to it? New Christians, what a... learning and developing, growing. I've had so many people that I come across that have, I'm brought up in homes that were really religious and strict, and now the kids are having difficulty inside themselves figuring out who they are. I can't tell you the amount of people and kids that I come across that have went to university, brought up in the church all their life, believe in God, went to the university. The professor said, sent them out to class and said, you're basically a fool to believe in God. And so then they're done, embarrassed in front of the class. And I said, you've been going to church all your life. And that has happened. And now, and then so discussing it. So there's a whole lot with spiritual and faith coaching. One of the things to me, I think that hearing these stories over and over and over again, I think it's one of the most damning things and one of the most brutal things to ever happen. You know, I've been on planes and heading to the Middle East and speaking with, middle-aged, university-age people from the Jewish faith or this faith. The last thing I would do is ever crush them in what they believed in their faith and how they thought and how they seen things without just communicating with them and loving them and seeing it. So a lot of times I hear that, and it really disappoints me, you know. But anyway, so there's a lot with spiritual and faith coaching, and there's a lot with trying to helping. I don't believe this. I believe this in all the coaching classes that I've ever taken and all the different studying I said, every one of them includes the spiritual side of it. And one of the things that I found with counseling in the beginning and psychiatry and stuff is that's one of the areas that's left out. And I believe that every one of us has that desire or thing within us. And the better that we can connect to, I'm not going to tell you which one it is because I don't know. I mean,
oh, we're not going to find that out on the show today?
No.
All right. Well, you're listening to CGM 99.1 FM, Redefining Radio in Windsor, in Detroit. And I'm Big JD, and this is you talking to me, of course. My guest is Scott Fleming today, and Scott's a life coach with QLC. He's got his own radio show, internet radio show. You can check that out on the web. Search Success Talk Radio on Facebook. You can also actually contact Scott at successtalkradio1@yahoo.com. So we're talking about all these areas, aspects in one's life where they might come to you for coaching and that type of thing. Now, I want to spend a little bit of time, you know, we're getting to a close on the show, but I want you to tell a little bit of your story that got you into doing this and what led up to it. Maybe we can spend a few minutes on that.
Okay. How I got into coaching? Well, my background is basically counseling, university counseling and doing that kind of stuff. And then went into business for years. While I was in business, I still worked with training and developing people in business and different stuff, help people get in and out of business. And then I came to a place in my life where I was looking for a change, and I was looking really to continue doing what I was doing, which is to make an impact in this generation and the generation to come. And I ended up taking a bit of a sabbatical, kind of put my business and let my business kind of go for a year, went and spent a year in the Middle East, and did a bunch of work over there, coaching and helping and people and seeing societal barriers and perceived and thought, et cetera, and traveled through Syria and Jordan, did all of that stuff. And came back with the conclusion that what I needed to do is switch my thing from counseling business to coaching business more, and just basically the same thing I was doing with a different spin on it. So then I spent the next multiple years getting the best certifications I can, traveling around the world, and working and helping and training and getting that getting specialty certification. Because one of the things that today, everybody, there's a lot of people popping up saying, I'm a coach. But one of the things that's a little bit different is between a coach and an actual professional coach with professional designations and licensing and you know, like mine are with the Worldwide Association of Business Coaches, International Coaching Federation, etc.
I guess lastly, I'd like to ask you a little bit about in the area of education before we go. I know just like where CGM here is located, the University of Windsor, in so many ways, I'd imagine a fair amount of counseling goes on, whether it's pre-university or in a freshman year, perhaps. Maybe you can talk briefly about the kinds of things that you might see as far as students go in education and, you know, with the university. And just coming in, I guess, can be overwhelming for a lot of students coming in.
Yeah, well, one of the things that we're seeing that I've seen in the Windsor Star Bunch in the last while is the difficulty that, there's a lot. So I've actually done some coaching with some university people that have come from other countries and have contacted me regarding, you know, fitting into the university, fitting into the culture. And there's some really specific things that come up with you know, actually giving up on sports and different things because they didn't feel like they were, you know, they had a bit of a conflict with somebody and they didn't feel like, well, they're from another country, so that maybe they couldn't do it, that kind of thing. One of the things with education that there's a big push in education. I believe in education, and I believe in one of the biggest things that we need to do is to be excellent at the education that we're doing and making our education as broad. Well, one of the things is there's education, university education, and actually going to give us our job. Then there's life education. What I deal with is specifically is life education and dealing with yourself and making yourself better so that you can. I mean, one of the hugest things out there today is emotional intelligence. And you know, the Windsor Star keeps coming out with these ads that it's university or it's exam time and people are having so much difficulty with exams and they're bringing in all these people to help counsel them and stuff. Well, one of the things that we do with coaching is let's back up 3 months. And let's look at well-formed outcomes. Let's look at success planning. Let's look at all the different things that we did or didn't do through this period of time. Because when it comes exam time, we should be prepared and ready. And so there's a lot of stuff that I started looking at and thinking about and saying, you know, there's a lot of things that we should have looked at and we should be looking at and trying to figure out the dynamics of it. I read the article and I was a little bit disheartened in some of the stuff that I read and some of the things, but I think that we should be looking, backing it up and looking at where we're at and why we're having the difficulties we're having. Life is tough. That's a guarantee. And the more tougher that life gets, the more we need to be emotionally sound. We need to understand our minds. We need to understand our beings and who we are. And if we don't, we're going to see more and more depression, more and more suicides, more and more addiction, more and more obesity, more and more and more and more and more stuff that we don't want. And we need to stop, turn the corner, and make the change.
All right. Well, it was great having you on the show, Scott. Really appreciate it. We might have to have you on again sometime to discuss this because it's a big topic. So really appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Excellent. Thank you.
So for obtaining and maintaining abundance in your personal or professional lives, whether mental, physical, spiritual, your family, relationships, or financially, you might look into a life coach. And so I'd like to thank my guest, Scott Fleming, for sharing his expertise in this area. And he's with Quantum Life Changes on the web at the QLCgroup.ca, where you can find more resources on life coaching. And for Scott's internet show, Success Talk Radio, you can search that on Facebook. You can contact him at SuccessTalkRadio1@yahoo.com. This has been You Talking to Me. I'm Big JD. Thanks for listening.